Did people really go to the moon in 1969? Or did America fake the Apollo 11 landing? At the time, my mother-in-law, whose mother is from rural Malaysia, was visiting, and they were sat out in the back garden, and my mother-in-law pointed to the moon, and she said to her mother-in-law, "People have just landed on there." And her mum just giggled in disbelief. Some people say that in 1969, people were incapable of sending a man to the moon, but they were capable of staging the whole thing in a TV studio. Conspiracy theorists point out that there are no stars visible in the pictures taken from the surface of the moon. Also, apparently, the American flag waves when the astronauts are putting it up, but there is no wind on the moon. What do you think? It is believed by some that the whole thing was a big scam to ensure the US beat the former USSR to the moon. But it would be quite a thing to have pulled off, to pretend one of the great adventures of the 20th century in a Californian studio. How do we check the veracity of these conspiracy claims? How authentic are they? In 1969, filmmakers actually were barely getting to grip with color images, never mind elaborate movie making techniques. The truth is, the technology wasn't available to fake it. The opposite, of course, is true today. It would be a relatively easy thing for movie makers to do. We live in an age, don't we, when it is easy to generate pretense. What is real? What is truly authentic? Photo editing means that we can remove all blemishes and appear in photos taken in our absence. Facebook allows us to manipulate our public persona. With virtual reality, it is now possible to simulate physical presence in places around this world, as well as in imaginary worlds. You know, when Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate," here in verse 13 of chapter 7, he is saying, "Enter through the authentic gate." He's asking, do you want to live an authentic life? If so, choose the path of the cross. It is a small gate that is difficult to squeeze through and very hard to stay on, but it will lead to true authenticity in this life and in the next. It is said, to thine own self be true. But what do we mean if we say that somebody is an authentic person or a very genuine person? Personal authenticity is often defined as being true and honest with oneself and others. Having credibility in one's words and actions and an absence of pretense. And its meaning can be enhanced by contrasting it with inauthenticity, like comparing light with darkness. And in our reading this lunchtime, we have two examples of inauthenticity. False prophet and a false disciple. And between them, they can help to shed light on what it means to be authentic in the workplace. So let us consider first verses 15 to 20 of Matthew chapter 7. Let us look at how we should ditch pretense for authentic words. Now, if you are in sales, you are familiar with the best techniques of how to sell and then close the deal. You know the best ways to ask questions, and when you just need to be silent and let the ensuing awkwardness force the buyer to speak. Salespeople are very clever with words. I'm reminded of Del Boy, of Only Fools and Horses fame. He was that fast-talking, archetypal Cockney market trader who was trying to make a quick buck by buying and selling a variety of low quality and illegal goods. You may remember the episode he tried to sell the Russian army camcorders, or the occasion he was trying to offload luminous yellow paint. Inevitably, in every episode, people came to see through Del Boy's sales pitch and realized he was no more than just a false prophet. What he was promising, he couldn't deliver. Now, we have a common misconception that biblical prophets were all about predicting the future, and in particular, the very distant future. However, the primary purpose of prophets in the Bible was to speak for God to their contemporaries. They are truth tellers more than fortune tellers. Here, Jesus is warning us to be aware of false prophets, of people who claim to speak words of truth but speak lies. He puts his listeners and you and me on our guard. He tells us to weigh up the words of preachers and teachers, to measure the value of their words by the fruits of their lives. For by their fruit you will know if they are a good tree or a bad tree, a good teacher or a bad teacher. And as I was reading through this, it reminded me of the Bereans, who you'll recall in Acts 17:11, received Paul's teaching with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. But these words of Jesus also present us with another challenge. We need to be true or authentic prophets in our workplace. The New Testament doctrine of the priesthood of all believers insists that you are the mouthpiece of God in your work. You are to be the prophet, the preacher in your workplace. Who else is going to speak the truth of the gospel to your colleagues? Is your minister or your elder or your rector or your church leader going to do that? No, you have to be a true prophet at work. And what does that look like? Now, if John the Baptist was an employee at your workplace, I imagine him causing a regular stir. I'm sure from time to time, to your embarrassment, John will be on his feet again in the canteen, preaching forth with gusto and power. And is that what you're called to do? Probably not. I'd be relieved to know that. But the person you sit next to in the office, or the colleague who you enjoy having lunch with, or the one who you enjoy a drink after work, all have something in common. Each one, to a greater or a lesser extent, is on a quest for authenticity. What do I mean? Each of your colleagues is trying to make sense of this life, to find the real deal, something lasting with moral value, a lover who will not cheat on them, a boss who is true to his word, a friend who is faithful, a God who cares. And many of your colleagues are reaching the view that these people do not exist. And you could well be their last hope. That is you and your words. You see, your challenge is to be a true prophet, to be an authentic gospel witness. Personal authenticity can shimmer in the light for a brief moment and then be gone like a vapor. Our words are to be different. Let our conversations be full of care. Yes, speak the gospel and always be ready to give an answer for the hope you have. But first, take an interest in people. Follow up with people and their troubles. Be people who keep your promises and love well. Be genuine. Be authentic. Be a true prophet. Secondly, we also see Jesus calling his disciples to be true disciples by ditching pretense for authentic actions. In verses 21 to 23, we are told in no uncertain terms that words are not enough. Now, if we're honest, the church has come under a public lashing in recent years. It holds itself out as the moral arbitrator, but so often is found wanting. Its moral teaching is undermined by the sinful actions of a few. And we just had another example of this with the resignation of Cardinal Keith O'Brien. I don't know if you were listening to the Today program last week. John Humphreys grilled Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor. And he challenged the credibility of the church institution given the hypocrisy of men like O'Brien who preach one thing but practice another. And our unbelieving friends and work colleagues hate hypocrisy. And they share this disdain for hypocrites with Jesus. You remember the way he went after the Pharisees? And Jesus does it again here. You may even speak like a Christian, says Jesus. But if your actions do not match your words, then on the final day I will say, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. It is a sad reality of the world we live in that religious institutions are seen to be no more authentic than the Houses of Parliament or the BBC. It explains why so many of your colleagues are pursuing an individualistic vision of authenticity. They've grown cynical with all authoritarian institutions as they see them, and indeed with other people. Instead, they are working hard to achieve financial freedom that they believe will lead to true autonomy. And into this cynicism, we are called to be authentic. Jim is a hospital doctor working with Sikhs, Hindus, Muslims, and atheists. And he was saying that whenever he makes the effort to understand their worldview, asking lots of questions, his colleagues are always open towards the gospel. And last year, one of his Hindu colleagues became a Christian. He'd known him for nearly 10 years. And at his baptism, his friend said something like this: I knew Christianity was true because I saw it lived out in your life. In a world weary with fake that is looking for real, Jesus here summons us to be a true prophet, to be a true disciple, to be a true gospel witness. He says, ditch pretense and embrace genuine. Ditch pretense and embrace authentic. Let your words and actions be the real deal. Amen.